Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Being that I live in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's get ready to dive into these confessions with people I know and people that I've never met. Hi guys, welcome to the next episode of the City Confessions. I'm super excited today because I have Cassie Goldstein. She is the head of marketing of Plant People. Yes. And Plant People is a New York City-based company that sells plant-based products. So welcome.
Thank you. Hey, I'm excited to be here.
Yes, and shout out to Annabelle and Krupa Consulting for linking us together.
Love the Krupa team.
Love them too. And Annabelle, for sure.
Especially Annabelle.
So I would like to begin by having you introduce yourself and then tell us a little bit more about Plant People.
Sure. So I'm Cassie. As you said, I'm so excited to be here. And Plant People is a, as you said, plant-based wellness company. We think of ourselves as healing and connecting people through the power of plants. The common thread across all of our products is hemp. So we work with hemp-derived extracts. And most people commonly think about that as CBD, which is a little bit of a misnomer because CBD is just one compound within the hemp plant. And most of our products include all of the other phytocannabinoids that you can find in the plant. So we're all about, healing and connecting people through plants. And a lot of that comes from hemp, which is, you know, in the cannabis world.
And right now, I feel like CBD is such a trending topic and also just like a trending industry.
Yeah.
So can you explain how you got involved with Plant People?
Yeah. I never saw myself working in cannabis. I hope this is okay to say. I was never like a pot smoker.
Yeah,
really.
Totally. It's fine.
I dabbled,
you know,
high school,
college,
like a little bit here and there, but it was never really my jam. And but what happened was I started consulting and freelancing for myself almost a year ago now, and I was connected to the founders of Plant People through my general network, and they were looking for someone to run their marketing, and I was really excited about their general mission. So I loved the idea of working for a brand that was supporting people and living better mm-hmm. lives. And I had a background in retail and fashion, and I was excited to just branch out from that a little bit and be reconnected to people. I also had a history working in energy efficiency, so working for a sustainable company mm-hmm. was something that was exciting to me. And Plant People has regeneration is what we call it, is one of our main pillars, meaning regenerating of body and mind as people with our products, but also the planet as well as a commercial business. So we only work with regenerative organic mm-hmm. farms, and we only bottle and post-consumer glass. We use extremely limited plastic, and then we plant a tree for every product that we sell. So those two things together were super exciting to me. And so I started consulting with them. They had just launched 2 months before I started working with them. And I fell in love with the business. I fell in love with the team, and I kind of stage five clung until they brought me into the team full time.
That's amazing. Yeah. So how long has it been actually?
I've been with them now for about 6 months.
Okay, great. Yeah. So it's still relatively new, but obviously super exciting.
We only launched, 8 months ago.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. And how has it been?
It's been a whirlwind.
Okay.
I mean, to your point, the CBD, you're cannabis,
right.
Explosion mm-hmm. is exciting to be a part of. Everything, were you going to ask?
I was just going to ask, how do you differentiate yourself from all these other companies? Like, what do you think Plant People has that makes it stand out?
Yeah. So one thing that's interesting that I didn't know because I wasn't familiar with cannabis or CBD really before this is a lot of what's out there is white labeled. So there's a few big distributors that produce almost everything. People mm-hmm. buy the product and then brand it and resell it. Everything that we make is completely custom. So what you get in our oil-based solution, like our tinctures, which mm-hmm. are basically concentrated oils, you can't buy in any other bottle. And we basically, the formulas are done so that the CBD, which is the compound we talk about the most, really shines through, and you're not going to get any weird side effects from some of the other cannabinoids or terpenes that are present in the formula. So everything is solutions driven. Everything is completely customized. And then coming back around to the way that we operate as a company, we're trying to give back to the planet that we're taking from. So I think those two things, and the fact that we would just never put CBD in something because it's cool.
Right. I did do a little research, yeah, and I did read about like the founders and like their story, yeah, which obviously was touching to me. Do you want to just kind of tell the audience about it? Because I don't want to say anything like incorrect.
Yeah, of course. So Hudson and Gabe are the founders of Plant People. Two incredible dudes. I'm really lucky to work with guys that are so supportive of females and their careers, right, and sort of lifting us up, I guess.
Yeah.
Basically, both of them independently had back trauma. Mm-hmm. Gabe was a ski racer as a kid, and he obliterated his disc in an accident and found his way to cannabis as a way to heal himself. Both of his parents are, he's a Colorado dude, like to the max. Mm-hmm. His parents are both acupuncturists. His mom's a Chinese herbalist and his dad, wow, is a chiropractor. You can't really get more hippie than Colorado hippie,
right,
than
right,
Gabe's family. So it was very natural for him to explore alternative methods, mm-hmm, of medicine when that happened to him. On the other hand, Hudson had a surgery. He had a tumor removed from his back, ultimately had to learn how to walk again, and went a more traditional route to managing the pain, mm-hmm, or a more traditional pharmaceutical route, and then eventually found his way to cannabis as a way to help his pain. And then they both, coincidentally, through the crazy world that is New York and the beauty of living here, found their way to each other, realized they had this common ground, and they were like, well, if it helped us, it can probably help a lot of other people. And this was 2.5 years ago, before it was, mm-hmm, anything of what it is,
right,
now.
That's so crazy, though,
yeah,
because they didn't know each other prior.
They were acquaintances.
And the fact that they both could relate in that aspect of having problems and, you know, finding solution through cannabis is just...
I know. It's pretty incredible. And I think it also just speaks to the power of it. I mean, it's not... It's a trend, but it
works.
It works. Mm-hmm. It helps me.
Right.
I sit at my desk crying,
yeah,
reading feedback from customers, mm-hmm, when they're like, I'm sleeping better than I've, mm-hmm, ever slept in my life.
I've actually tried it myself. Again, thanks to Annabelle. She gave me, I think it was, I don't know the actual product name, but I think it, yes, this one, the,
okay,
Drop Sleep. And I used it because I was telling her that I was having so much anxiety,
yeah,
recently and I haven't been able to sleep, but it does work. It is not a weird taste, but it's like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's not like an actual, it's not that it tastes like medicine or anything, but it is.
It's earthy.
Yeah.
There's
so when I wasn't, you know, it was my first time trying and I was like, whoa, but it's an acquired taste and I feel like it's not that serious. It lasts for like less than what, 10 seconds.
And
then,
taste.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just put it in your,
under your tongue.
Yeah. And that's it. So that's cool.
Yeah.
But bringing it back to the city, I wanted to know your background.
Okay.
Are you, what is your relationship with New York?
So I've been in New York for about 4 years, and I was born outside of Boston. Both of my parents, though, are native New Yorkers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my dad's from East Flatbush, and
okay,
my mom originally grew up on Avenue D.
Oh, my God. I thought they said that's like near me, but they're in Boston.
Yeah,
they moved to
Boston.
Okay.
But my dad spent his whole life here. My mom spent most of her life here. So I felt this sort of I'm moving and people
are
calling to be here.
Yeah.
And after college,
did you go, by the way?
I went to Indiana University.
Okay.
A brief stint in the Midwest. And I was like,
right,
East Coast, got to come back.
Right.
I lived here the summer before my senior year. I grew up coming here once every couple months at,
mm-hmm,
least. So it always sort of felt familiar and like home. And especially that summer, I had the time of my life. I lived in the NYU dorms. I was so carefree.
Yeah.
I was like, this is the life,
yeah,
I need again. But I didn't find my way here. I ended up moving to DC. I was working for the Department of Energy. And then I just knew. I don't know. I mean, you're from here, so
yeah,
you never really had to
Yeah, I know. That's why I love doing this, because some people I meet, obviously I can relate to them. They're born here. We have this, you know, New York vibe. Totally. But then I meet other people who are like, no, but like I'm drawn to the city for a reason. And I do believe that the city has a weird way of like connecting people and getting them here.
Yeah, it was pulling me here.
Right.
I just and it was funny because I feel like I came alive here.
Like, oh, I love that.
It was like
that.
My whole life, and then I moved here, and then my whole life became what it was supposed to be. And it wasn't easy by any sense of the word, but it made me whole.
Do you think that you're gonna be here for a really long time?
I think it's so hard. Yes, in an ideal state. I don't know. I feel like when you live here, I can't imagine myself being anywhere else.
Right.
What would ever live up to living here?
Mm-hmm.
But of course, there's – you never know what opportunities come your way. You never know what life will pull you. And I don't like to – I don't believe in a set path. Like, I'm going to accomplish this and then this and then this. I can't live that
way. You just
go
with the flow.
Yeah. So, yes, I could live here forever. But
yeah.
I
but
can't
who knows?
Say, yeah.
Right. Cool. So what is your favorite part about the city?
I owe the city so much. I think it's the people. Whether it's moments like this where I'm meeting people who have so many exciting creative outlets, I'm just constantly inspired by the variety of human beings that I come across. There are so many people, different people doing different things, whereas Boston, in contrast, is so homogenous. When I was there, I was living there after D.C. before I moved to Boston. I'm just making a tour of the East Coast. I was like, everyone here is the same. And I hated it.
Right.
So I think that's the people.
Well, there's also like a rivalry, though.
I know, but I don't pay attention
to sports.
That's
what I'm like, right. And what is your least favorite part about the city, then?
I hate talking bad about my girl, the city.
Oh.
Yeah. No, I think.
Yeah, but, you know, you always got, it's not even a complaint, but a city can't be perfect.
No, no. I hate the days where the city feels like it's beating you up, and because there's days where everything can go wrong. Sometimes it happens the second you wake up. You wake up late, you miss every single train, you're 3 hours late because just it can work against you sometimes. It's so dynamic and complex. And some days it works for you and it makes you thrive, and other days it feels like it's beating you up.
I'm having one of those days.
Are you? I'm sorry. I know what that feels like.
Oh my God.
Do you want to take a deep breath?
No, a part of me also feels like it's because I've been traveling and I'm a little struggling with anxiety, but then like jet lag. And then I know I actually do need some of that. Not gonna lie. I was actually walking here and I was just like not feeling it, but I was like, I need to like get in the game. I have a podcast to record. But then there are other days when I'm like 2 days ago, I was obviously not in the country and I felt I was thriving.
Yeah.
I was loving life. And then I'm back and I'm like, what's going on?
It can take if you leave, it can be – that's the other thing is sometimes – the other thing I would say about that I don't love, sometimes you don't feel the weight of the city. It's so frenetic, which is incredible. But then the second you leave, you realize that your shoulders are up in your ears. And you don't –
and then you become so relaxed. And then you come back and you're like, whoa.
I wish it was a little bit easier to tap into that relaxation.
Totally. And there really isn't, especially when you travel. I feel like you get off the plane and you need to adjust. Like, it is instant, like, New York mode. There's no such thing as, like, you know, like, I can't even, like, talk about it because it's so, like, insane.
Yeah.
But you just kind of jump right back into when that's what New York is about, so.
I know. One of my friends has a put it the best that I've ever heard, which is that New York has its own time zone. It's, even though it's on the East Coast, it's like you
that's
come to
so
New York.
That's so interesting.
And you have – you were just talking about how you have jet lag.
Yeah.
Or New York, you have to adjust to the time zone.
Yeah.
No matter, even if you're coming from Boston.
Right, right. That's so true.
Yeah.
Because you can be in the same time zone, but it's still like a different planet, basically.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
I thought it was the best comparison.
Totally.
Like, you do need to readjust.
So how would you describe a New Yorker? And is there such thing?
I don't think there is such a thing. I think there are certain qualities that make New Yorkers similar. I think there's a certain hunger and open-mindedness. I also think there's a lot of – most New Yorkers are more welcoming than we get credit for. You just have to be – like, if someone asks me for help on the subway and they're specific, mm-hmm. I'm so down to help.
Right.
I might not be open to having a random chat with someone totally. On the subway, but if you need help, I'm here to help you.
Yeah.
And when new people move to the city, I feel like New Yorkers are – bringing you into their family. Everyone knows what it's like to move here because everyone's so transient.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's certain commonalities, but I don't know that there's a thing that makes mm-hmm. a New Yorker, and that's what makes it so beautiful.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think?
No, I agree. And I love the fact that you mentioned about people have this misconception that New Yorkers are like rude or like won't help you because, I mean, again, I'm a native, but whenever I'm on the train and somebody asks me questions, like I love helping out because I'm like, oh, like I know my shit, you know, yeah. like I know what route you need to go to. I'll
You're like,
tell
I don't
you.
Need Google Maps
yeah.
to help you.
I'm like, you gotta take this to that. And I think like, yeah, like you can help people because why not? Like we're in the same boat. I think sometimes I will say that I'm in a rush and I feel, you know, like oh, I don't have time to help them out. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I do try to like give them instructions. And they always say that if you know how to navigate the New York City subway, you know how to navigate any place.
Yeah.
So
I try to test myself and not use my phone sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm like, do I know this as well as I think I do? And when I do know how to get there without looking, I have this like pride victory.
The only thing I still struggle with is when I leave the subway, like where I'm at. Like I need to like look at the streets and be like, okay, that's like uptown. I can't like automatically know.
That's what I do too.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you can unless
right?
you've been there in
it's
that
It's too
stop.
Big. Yeah. yeah. To like figure out exactly where North is and all that. Okay, we're going to shift gears a little bit.
Cool.
I know that you heard my previous episode, so you kind of know the layout of this, of how this is going.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you what keeps you up at night.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny that we mentioned it because I feel like it ties into plant people a little bit. If you're going through anxiety or struggle as a New Yorker, obviously the products are here to help you out and to relieve that type of stress.
Yeah.
So with that being said, can you just tell me what keeps you up at night and if there's anything that you're currently struggling with or dealing with?
Yeah. So, you know, I told you I hadn't been really a cannabis user before I joined Plant People.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried CBD, or I tried hemp, full spectrum hemp extracts before, but one off.
Mm-hmm.
And I also sort of, I think, been delusional that – well, I just said that weird – delusional. That I didn't have anxiety. I was like, I'm so carefree and go with the flow. And then I started taking our products and I was like, holy shit, I have really bad anxiety because now I feel so much better. So for what keeps me up at night that I realize I do have this anxiety, I think it gets tied back mostly to imposter syndrome. I'm constantly, if I'm up at night, I'm like, did I do enough? It's mm-hmm. The common thread is, did I do enough today? Am I pushing plant – did I do everything I could to make Plant People grow? Am I doing everything I can to make my own personal goals – to meet them? And that's really where I get stuck in cycles at night. And I don't know that I have a solution, but those two things really – am I doing enough? Am I mm-hmm. doing enough? And then the other thing is I work with this program called – it's called America Needs You.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentor this young woman who is in college. She's a first generation college student. That's the group that this organization serves. And I'm like a mom. I didn't expect that to happen when I started working with this organization, but I now I have this child that I feel responsible
right.
for. So I'm either worrying about plant people, I'm worrying about not achieving my own goals, or I'm worrying about my fellow and if she's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So those three things. I don't know. What keeps you up? Can I ask you questions?
Yeah, but wait. I just wanted to say that I think what keeps you up and I are like beautiful things.
Mm, thank you.
I think – no, they are. And it shows what type of person you are. I just met you like 20 minutes ago. But I can tell that you're like – you have a pure heart because the fact that you are involved with – the community, the organization, with Plant People, and the fact that you were connected not because of it's a simple job, There's always sirens all the time when I'm recording. It's sirens so in New York. Crazy. It's like a sign. It never gets old. Okay. Yeah, I think like you, I like kind of lost my train of thought. But yeah, I feel like you're just a super pure person.
Thank you.
And everything that you were saying, like, there are good things that keep you up at night. You're not, it's not really stressful in a sense like it's weighing you down. It's more of the fact that you just want to be the best person you can be and like give all that you can. So it's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
Yeah.
It's just at some point, I feel the mantra that I have to tell myself when I find myself spinning in circles mm-hmm. is like, it's okay. You are enough. You're doing enough. You're good.
Positive affirmations. Do you want to tell people what imposter syndrome is actually? Because I actually just learned about that recently and I can totally relate. That's when you mentioned it, I was like, yes.
Yeah. I hope I can do a good job defining it. My understanding of imposter syndrome is that you are existing, doing, and accomplishing at a certain level. Let's say you're running a company mm-hmm. And you're doing it well, but then you feel like you don't deserve it, or you feel like you're not equipped or ready to do it, even though you already are successfully. Mm-hmm. So it's doubting the position that you're in. I don't know. Did that sum? Do you think?
That, yeah, I think that. Think? Yeah, I think that is accurate. I think that another layer of it is like not an identity struggle, but like you act a certain way because of your job, right? Mm-hmm. Like this persona, but then like you struggle with not like who you are, but there's like, I don't even know how to explain it.
Yeah. I think I know what you're saying.
Yeah. I don't know if it's true or not, but I think there is some type of identity crisis though.
Yeah. I think it's connected to identity in the sense of, how many accomplished people you're probably surrounded by people who are doing incredible things. Mm-hmm. And ultimately your identity is tied up in that. Like,
totally. Yeah.
So sometimes I'll be like, am I smart? Am I actually smart enough right, to right, be doing right, what right. I'm doing? Right. It's not just professional. It gets tied up with who you are.
Totally.
Because our careers inevitably now are intertwined.
Right. That's like who
you're. Yeah. Your identity yeah. as a human. So I think that's where it can get
right. I think you hit it on. And yes, I struggle with that as well.
Yeah,
sometimes, like actually when I was on a press trip to whatever, like traveling, I'll ask myself, like, why am I here? Like this is so weird. Like, why did they choose me? Or like, you know, and then I have to remind myself, like, there's a reason why they chose you. There's a reason why you're here. Like, you need to kind of just accept it, own it, and like, just go with the flow.
Yeah.
And trust the universe, like, and stop doubting it, because that's when I, you know, will get into my head and I'll, it's just not good from there.
Yeah, no, I know what that feels like. And it's sort of, if you think about fake it till you make it, it's, you've already made it, so you need to keep
I love that, because I preach about that all the time. I'm like, fake it till you make it. I know people, you know, it's like a controversial saying. Some people are like, that's, they don't like that because mm-hmm. they think that you need to, I don't know, be authentic or blah, blah, blah. But like, no, you have to like sometimes just wing it.
Well, also how do you know? Stretch?
Yeah.
Like you're going to have to do things that you've never done before.
Yeah.
And then you're just, not going to always know the path.
Right. And you got to pretend that you do.
Yeah. You got to fake it.
And then you just figure it out. Yeah. That's what life is about.
That's what Google is for.
Oh, God. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the confession component.
Okay.
And I always preface this by saying that you can share whatever you feel comfortable with, and a confession does not have to be anything secretive or like dark and deep. It can be something surface level.
Mm-hmm.
It's all dependent on you. It's like your chance to kind of dig deep and just talk about something that you really want to get off your chest. So what is your confession?
What is my confession? I think I didn't want to like pre-prepare this, actually.
Yeah, no.
I wanted to see what came up in the
totally,
moment.
Totally, yeah.
I think, let's see. I'm debating between a like romantic thing or a professional thing? What do you think is better?
I think romantic is more juicy.
Sure.
But it's what it's your choice.
I think
you're the guest.
I'll go.
She's just taking a moment to decide, guys.
Sorry. I'll go with romantic because we already kind of went there. So I got out of a relationship not for the first time. I got out of a relationship about 2 years ago. And for the first time in my – I've been a serial monogamous my entire adult life. And so I would think I was – yeah, it was almost 2 years ago. So I was 28 when we broke up. We've been living together.
How long were you guys together for?
We lasted in the same apartment, maybe 6-7 months.
But total dating?
Total about 1.5 years.
Okay.
And part of that was long distance.
Okay.
So I was like, I'm going to be single. I need to do this for myself. I need to learn what this is, who is Cassie without someone to fall back on.
Mm-hmm.
My friends were like, okay, finally, yeah, good. My therapist was like, good. And my parents were like, yes. Everyone agrees that you need to do that. So I went through this whole, like, traditional New York dating extravaganza. Or not even, in like, nightmare.
Apps or, like,
nothing.
Traditional?
Nothing. Trying to just meet people. Apps. Got it. Blah, blah, blah.
The whole shebang.
Yes. And so – recently, I met someone that I'm really excited about. We've been seeing each other for a few months. And this comes back to imposter syndrome. So over the course of that almost 2 years that I'd been on my own, I really felt like, okay, so much of my life came together. I started consulting. I ended up in Plant People in this company that I love. I found this organization that I mentioned before. I've created so many new friendships. Like, in that period of singledom, everything in my life came together, and I finally felt like, okay, I could see someone now. If someone came into my life, I could be ready for that again. And now I met this person I'm really excited about, and it's so weird when you get what you want, and then I've just been like ridden with fear. I'm so happy and I'm excited, but I'm so afraid. It's just a weird thing to like get exactly what you want and then be afraid of messing it up or losing it. And then also so quickly, like all the confidence that I feel like I created can like disappear. Mm-hmm. And it's been a little bit frustrating because I feel like I built so much strength and then I have to be vulnerable, like more vulnerable, like just a little bit with this new person. And it just is a little bit humbling to realize like how quickly that can, be shaken.
I'm nodding my head because I can relate. I also got out of a 4-year relationship actually 2 years ago as well. Mm-hmm. I'm actually not dating. I mean, I'm open to dating. I haven't met anybody, but I use all of last year as a me year. Mm-hmm. It was all about self discovery, soul searching, self worth. Like the whole year was just like, just me.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
It's amazing. And I felt
like I'm glorious.
Totally. I did a 180 with my headspace. I was like loving life. I found really who I am, what I want, like everything, just clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt, again, confident, strong, all of that. And then I said to myself, okay, now I'm ready to date somebody because I know who I am. I didn't know who I was before. And if I meet somebody, I'm able to, you know, tell them exactly what I want, because that's the number one thing you need to know, what you want in a relationship and know who you are.
Yeah.
And I've been dabbling a little bit with dating apps. I met people here and there, and there were times when things were going well, but obviously it's not happening like now. But when it did, I would tell my girlfriends like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like maybe I met somebody, whatever. He checks off all my boxes. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, literally what you just said, like, I'll be fearful of like screwing it up or thinking like, wait, why? Like, I don't deserve this, or like all this stuff that I would be like, you just like, why are you thinking this when you literally use a year and a half mm-hmm. of building yourself up and now you're doubting yourself? Like, it's so crazy because I put so much work again to myself. And then I don't want to say a guy can change that, but it's more of like the idea of maybe having something good,
yeah,
which is so weird.
I know.
Like, why do we even do this to ourselves? I don't understand.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure it out because I think it actually has, what I've come to, and maybe this can be helpful, mm-hmm. is I think that it's after taking so much time to reconnect, understand your priorities, who you are, I feel like I've shown up in this new experience with all of that. Like, he definitely, I've been more myself with this new person mm-hmm. than I have in any relationship right. before. No pretenses, nothing. Mm-hmm. And I think my fear actually comes from that safety net that I sort of created for myself in that year being rattled if someone was to get in. But it's easier to be like, I'm afraid of messing it up than to admit that I'm afraid of someone coming in.
Yeah.
So I think that's what, like, next week's therapy session will be about.
Yeah. I actually need to get a therapist as well.
Oh, girl, I have a Rolodex.
Yeah. Can you talk about therapy? Because I think it's a little taboo and people think, really? Like, oh, yeah. You're going to see a therapist. But actually, no. Everybody should see a therapist. I don't care how well you think your life is going. Like, everybody can use one.
Yeah, I'm a huge believer.
Did you start?
I'm a weirdo. I started going to therapy when I was 12 years old. I might have even been younger.
Have you been going consistently, though?
I took a break in college. I think I'm a therapist now because I've been going for so long. Like, I'm a therapist by just use of, by the amount of time I've been doing it. I started going in middle school. I went to my parents and I was like, Mom and Dad, I need to see a therapist. And they were probably like, what is this weirdo? Who is this weird thing? How does she even know what that is? So they, because I was like, we're having communication problems or something. I don't know. I probably saw it on TV. It was probably on MTV, like Real World or something.
I love Real World.
I was addicted. I would come home from school and be like,
no.
Yeah. So I started then, and I think the benefit of it is, okay, let's say you and I are friends, and I come to you with a problem, or you come to me with a problem. No matter what, it's going to be almost impossible for me to not bring my own biases,
of course,
into the conversation, which I can be conscious of. I could be like, I know I'm saying this with this bullshit mm-hmm. that I'm bringing to mm-hmm. the table because of X, Y, and Z ex-boyfriend that, like, ruined my life.
Right.
But, you know, just be aware.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's still clouded. Mm-hmm. And I think, and whether that's, like, talking to your parents, talking to your friends, talking to your family, a therapist is the person who is completely objective. And it doesn't mean that you need to be having a problem. I see it more as someone to be your sounding board. Or to talk through how to have difficult conversations. Like, I'm not confrontational. A lot of times I'll use my therapist to, like, practice having difficult conversations or how to advocate for myself at work. Like, if I need a promotion or whatever, that's how I'll use it. Because they have nothing but clear head about me. Mm-hmm. And they don't bring their own stuff to it. And they're trained to do it. So I'm a big proponent.
After this, we'll talk and you can give me, like, a recommendation.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I really, that's, like, my goal this year.
It's great.
People are going to be like, what the hell?
No, it's expensive, but.
But it's also an investment in yourself. Exactly. It's an investment in yourself. It's mental health, self-care. All of that ties in. Yeah. Like, there's no price for that.
Mm-mm.
You know?
And I don't go every week. I go every other week.
Yeah. And when you need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love her. I've referred so many of my friends. I'm like, really? Does anyone need a therapist?
Wait, how did you find her? Because I know doesn't it take a lot of research and just, like, basically it's like dating.
Yeah,
you have to find a good fit.
It's just like dating. So it's this world we live in. I found her technically through Instagram. Oh. So there's a woman who I follow on Instagram who's mm-hmm. a therapist, and I love all of the positive affirmations that she posts. I'm like, okay, this woman gets me.
Yeah.
And she used to be the in-house therapist at Google.
I
was like, I'm never going to be able to afford this woman.
Yeah.
So I DM'd her and I was like, hey, I love what you're doing. I work for a startup. so I'm obviously earning under market value.
Right.
But I need a therapist. Do you have anyone that has your same sort of philosophy uh-huh. and approach that you can recommend me to? And she sent me a whole list of people. And the first one on the list was the one I ended up loving. Yeah. That's She's kind amazing. Of like the perfect blend between sort of spiritual woo-woo mm-hmm. and very, like, she gives me mantras, she'll give me like meditation tricks, and then at the same time, she'll be very clinical and analytical. So
that's great. That's like for. What, yeah, that's what I'm looking for as well.
You can just go see mine.
Might as well. Okay. So I want to take this moment to acknowledge you and to thank you. You don't know me and I don't know you, but I really, really have appreciated you taking time out of your day to come and speak with me and be on this podcast. I actually really love your energy as well. Are you into astrology?
I am.
Okay, yeah. What sign are you?
I'm a Virgo.
Okay.
And so I'm an OCD freak. And
what's your sun?
I am rising? Hold on, I have to look at my co-star.
Okay.
I think I'm a Scorpio rising. Okay. It's a weird combo, that's but fine. I think that makes sense. What are you?
I'm an Aquarius, but I have a Scorpio moon.
Oh, okay.
And I'm a Pisces sun rising.
Okay.
So what I
I'm a Cancer moon.
Okay.
So I think that might be what you're picking
maybe.
Up on.
Yeah.
Let me see. Are you on CoStar?
I am.
Oh, I'll have to add you. Let me find my thing. If anyone doesn't know, CoStar is it's an astrology app that you can match up with your friends and see how compatible you are. It's great.
It's so cool.
Yeah. Okay. Scorpio rising, Virgo sun, Cancer moon.
Okay, cool. But yeah, we'll connect later.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just wanted to thank you because I think in New York, yes, you meet a lot of great people, but then you also meet a lot of other people who are just like, they're just too busy to dedicate like an hour of their time to you, especially if they don't know you. So I really do appreciate you being here, and I really enjoyed our talk, and I hope like people listening could like feed off of the positive energy that we're both trying to emit. But with that being said, I wanted to also just ask you one last question.
Sure.
What is one thing you love most about yourself?
I would say I have a unique, how do I frame this in one word? I think my ability to understand people and empathize, it's definitely a feminine trait, and most women have this. I think it is my biggest strength. My ability to understand people and to empathize with people, and it can be a burden sometimes, but it's definitely my favorite thing about myself. It's all about that instinct.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love that.
What's your favorite thing about yourself? Does anyone who listens know? Have you ever answered it back?
No, I only started asking this maybe like 3-4 episodes ago.
Okay.
It's so weird when like the tables have turned.
I'm like, here's the microphone.
I think the thing I love most about myself is the fact that I just take risks. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't, especially it comes with, like, travel opportunities, I won't know exactly what it's going to be or how it's going to happen. You know what I mean? Like, what's going to happen? But I just say yes, and I just, like, again, trust the universe, and I just figure it out as I go. And I'm like, whatever. And I think other people, are like super analytical. I'm just like, it is what it is. Just say yes. Go with the ride, and like, everything will work out.
Cool.
So yeah,
you're fearless.
Try to be. So let's leave off by just I guess you can plug in Plant People and just talk about like what you're currently up to.
Sure. Also, just thank you for saying that, and same here. I've had such a nice time. I appreciate it so much. And I hope your day turns around.
Thank you. I think it already has now. I'm, like, feeling all these great, great vibes.
Good. Same. Okay, so Plant People, what we're up to, I mean, we're really just trying to help as many people as possible and plant as many trees as possible. So, you know, hemp is there as a way to help people reduce their stress and anxiety, reduce their pain and inflammation. And it's also really good for your brain. It's neuroprotective. So investing in your long-term brain health. And I think what we really want to just help as many people as possible, help people understand the power of plants, not be afraid of using non-traditional or alternative medicines as a mm-hmm. way to heal themselves and just slow down. It's about mind-body regeneration and balance. So we just want to grow. I mean, we're still a little baby company. Mm-hmm. There's four of us hustling this thing. So we're just trying to make it happen and help people.
Yeah, and I'll leave all of the information in the description and Cassie's information as well. You can find her Instagram and email her and all that good stuff. So, yeah. Thank you again.
Thank you.
I hope you guys enjoyed this episode and stay tuned for the next one. All right, bye.
Bye.